Hello, America, and all of our listeners all around the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yo.
Yeah. Hello. So this episode is going to be for April 26, 2019. It's going to be the last show of the month. We'll be talking about some things that happened. Joe Biden is officially now one of the nominees in the Democratic race, but then again, he telegraphed this thing years in advance, so let's be honest, we all saw it coming. Rudy Giuliani put his foot in his mouth again. Steve King put his foot in his mouth again, and somehow managed
their
to compare
are just
himself
taking a presidency in there.
Yeah, really, and he somehow managed to himself to Jesus while doing it. Elizabeth Warren, who's also running for the Democratic nomination, has presented an aggressive student loan cancellation plan that she's getting ready to do. Something we definitely need.
Yeah.
It's a little too late for me, but I'm still on board.
And of course, we're going to be talking about some, you know, some movies and stuff and some trailers that came about. And although we're not talking about a certain movie that's, well, except for Chris, who saw it, a certain movie that came out this week that King everybody will see.
Yeah. We won't really talk
we
about
swear that. We're not going to. Yeah. We swear we're not going to spoil it. Yeah. So before we begin, I just really wanted to really quick this up because we might bring this up on the day zero date, but as of this week, a porno game just became one of the top 20 most funded video projects in Kickstarter history.
Okay.
And by that, I mean that as I have last checked, and I'm going to go ahead and check now, it is, as of right now, gotten in American dollars, and keep in mind, this is originally from what was going to a $129,013 goal, has now gotten, are you ready for this? $1,592,628.
Giggity.
That's a lot of giggity.
Yeah, and it also, remember though, this thing was originally going to be funded, is originally, because the developers, I'm guessing, mostly based out of the UK, so a lot of it is in pounds.
Yeah.
And as far as pounds, it's 1,234,466 pounds and 69, I guess, shillings.
Yeah, pence.
Pence, yeah. I don't know UK currency.
Yeah, not Mark Pence.
Yeah. What's funny is that most of the big video game sites have not mentioned it at all. And this thing's going to be on Steam, too, not to mention.
Yeah, well, it's already got, you know, plenty of stuff like that. Well, visual novel type stuff.
Yeah.
So this game is basically, okay, so the game, if those of you who are interested, called Subverse. And it's by, if you want to know who it is, it's Studio Foe. Now, if that name sounds familiar, those are the guys who do the really like professionally done SFM porn.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's a full length and you'll find on the internet.
Yeah.
And it gets used as like in ads. Yeah, that's them. And they're the ones making this. And here's the funny thing. Even though it's a porn game, the actual gameplay looks pretty legit. It's basically like in space, like it's divided into like a space portion where it's like a twin stick shooter. And then you go inside where like XCOM. Then the rest of the stuff is like all visual novel style.
Hmm.
And it's all fully animated too.
Yeah. Looks pretty actually.
First chapter is supposed to come out in June.
Hmm.
In the middle of June. But anyway. So that little bit out of the way. Let's start the show as we always do. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So let's see. I started and finished Brandon Sanderson's Skyward, which was pretty good. It's a little different than what he usually does, I guess, because
Well, it's sci-fi for one thing.
yeah, it's sci-fi for one thing, and it's about a girl named Spencer who finds a ship with a somewhat damaged AI that has a fascination with mushrooms and speaks in a Scottish accent.
Okay, keep going.
This ship is damaged. She's trying to go through flight school, and because her father was branded as a coward, she's basically persona non grata. So she doesn't really have access to a whole lot. So she basically forages for stuff and ends up pulling off some interesting hijinks to get the materials she needs to repair that ship. And a lot of interesting battles and stuff happen during the interim. It's interesting because her father was branded as a coward, but I'll leave it at that because the actual reasons are a lot more involved than you might think. It's really, really, really interesting. This is supposed to be a first of a trilogy, and I'm hoping to see what the other two books are gonna be. I think he started writing the second one already. So probably by the end of maybe by the end of the year we'll probably have that one. So who knows? So that was good. And I also started Crusade, which is the third book of Daniel M. Ford's Paladin trilogy. If you kind of like over the top fantasy, this is pretty good. He has a very eloquent yet easy writing style. It's really hard to explain unless you actually like put words in front of you and actually read it. It's very well done. I'm very much enjoying that. Won't go too much into it because it's the third book, and well, if you guys haven't read the first two, there's not a lot of point. But fair enough. Give that a look as well if you're interested in fantasy. And what else have I been doing? Well, Mortal Kombat 11 came out. Not going to say too much about that because I think I want to save the main brunt of the discussion for Day Zero Update.
There's a lot to say.
I'll just say that it's damn good. It's
But
legit.
you know what? There are a few things I hate more in the world when a game is damn good and then has monetization onto it that it doesn't need.
Yeah, because it really doesn't need it in the slightest. And the Towers of Time are awful.
Bullshit.
Yeah, complete bullshit.
The hot fix is coming in per Ed himself.
Ed said, yes, we're gonna work on that. But apart from that, it's like, I went through the story and it's like I unlocked Frost and it's like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't have to purchase that character? Oh, that's kind of
Yeah, they
cool.
don't tell you that,
I
but
know. So she's unlocked, and I'm about maybe. Let's see. I'm on chapter 5. Probably at the end of the show tonight, I'm going to sit down and play a few more chapters to get through that. I figure by Sunday, I should have finished the story. And that story is actually quite good. It started off a little slow, I thought, but it's built up pretty nicely so far.
Yeah, and the writing is just top notch.
I like the Johnny V. Johnny bits. Those are classic.
He has no patience for his younger self.
So that's really good.
And it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because he was that person. So it's like, damn, was I that much of an asshole? Yes. Yes, I was.
Yes, you were. We all played nine.
That's about it, except for a couple of some work here on Smash Pad that I've been doing. I got my DOA 6 review in, so just waiting for copy editing for that to go live. And in the process of doing that, I found some visual bugs with the way that the reviews were displayed, so I ended up fixing those. It's been kind of an eventful week, I'd say. How about you, Pat?
All right.
Well, for me, I've been playing my usual Stormblood. Not a lot to say there, except I did start a third character because there was a North American data center split, and so there are three data centers in North America now. with me wanting to be as connected and as active as I'm intending to be, I figured it was prudent to have a second character on the North America servers, so I did that. Other than that, I've also been playing MK11, but like you, I'll save the brunt of that for Sunday. I did walk into my apartment just a few minutes ago with a rather stylish blue box containing a PlayStation VR headset. So that is a thing that is now a part of my gaming practice. We'll see where that goes from here. I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, I have Wipeout the Omega Collection. So, enough said, right?
Tetris effect.
So, yep. So, I'm definitely not going to be wanting for anything to play. And even Tekken 7 has some VR functionality, so I'll be trying that out.
Yeah, no, that's more of a gimmick than anything else, but still
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
what would be a good one to get. Well, you probably should get Polybius because
Yeah, I intended to even before I planned on getting a PlayStation VR, honestly. That's just it's one of those games you have to have.
Just because Jeff Minter is
Yeah.
insane.
Everything that he makes, I have to consume. So, other than that, watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, Colorado Avalanche starting their second round series against the San Jose Sharks tonight. And that vicious cold that I've had for the last week or so finally seems to be breaking up. So hopefully I'll sound better than I do right now come Sunday and certainly come next week. So yeah, that's been pretty much it for me.
All right, Chris, about you.
Yeah, so I went and saw Avengers Endgame a little bit before this we started doing this show here, and I really liked it a lot. It was a nice like bow on the Marvel Cinematic Universe as it stands, and yeah, not going to spoil anything. People should go check it out, and yeah, there's some cool stuff in there. Some fun stuff, some sad stuff, and all that, but yeah, people should go check that out. And yeah, now I'm definitely looking forward to Spider-Man coming out in a couple months here. Because I think it's going to have some sort of sign of what's next for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If it's not in the movie itself, the post-credit scene will be the thing that sort of sets that off. And with what happens in Endgame, it could go a number of places.
Yeah.
I definitely have some ideas of my own, but we'll talk about that another time. Been watching more Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm in season four, and that's still just a fantastic show. Basically, I'm at the point where they're getting back on the day shift, which is it was a fun period when they're on night shift. And there's a lot of weird stuff that happens there. Especially when they do their Halloween episode, where essentially, well, the first one that's kind of Jake Peralta sets off to steal some prized possession of the captain and ends up doing it. Then there's some weird challenge that happens every year after that. And this one goes places. For the fourth one. And yeah, that show's just been a joy to watch. Tons of fun, especially when they there's a whole good sequence or a couple episodes where they kind of get into some trouble, have to go into witness protection, a couple of the people do, and they end up going to Florida, which is where they bring some real weird shit into it with some special guests, Maya Rudolph and one of the other guys from Lonely Island. And that's there's some fun shit there. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun. I'm definitely gonna see what else is on Hulu and watch some stuff now that I got that for the rest of the month. Also been doing a lot of streaming. I played Outcast Second Contact, which is one of the games of gold games for this month, and that is a very bad game. So that game was originally a 1999 PC adventure game, and that was they remade it so it looks better, plays a little bit better, but it still feels like a PC game that was made before a lot of the modern conventions that we have today. And control stuff as well, because at points where I'm kind of going into shooting, it feels real bad. Because they have, like, left trigger, right trigger stuff, where you hold down left trigger to aim and right trigger to shoot. And you have, like, a laser sight that seems like it locks onto enemies, but can't always tell, like, if you're actually hitting them. There's, like, no sign that you do. So you kind of have to just keep pumping bullets until. There's like a skull icon that pops above the enemy's head. And it's real fucking weird to try and shoot enemies, and they just respawn people after a while, so there's no real point to try and like kill everybody that's on the map. Yeah, it's still kind of an adventure game because a lot of the quests are kind of presented to you as hey, you need to, get this thing and take it over to this person and figure out like a puzzle, that sort of stuff. But it's being a 20-year-old adventure game, a lot of it's very obtuse. And the game doesn't do a good job of, it might tell you how to do certain things, but if you forget, there's no way to like relearn it. So it was one that wanted me to ride this creature over to somebody that they owed it to. And it's like, okay, you take this thing called a gui that you go to the left side of this creature and do something, and you can ride it. And I tried everything I could, couldn't figure out how to ride it. And did not make any sense at all. And so I gave up on that quest. It wasn't a mainline quest, but the nice thing they do is they kind of list out like your quest, like an order of operations a little bit, like. Here's what you need to do, this and this and this and this and this. And you can kind of go around, explore, and find ways to kind of undercut stuff or get around to shortcuts and some cool stuff like that. But yeah, it's a very old feeling game that might only be enjoyable to people that played it originally. That might appreciate the upgraded aspects of it. I don't know. But it's not a very good game to give out for like games of gold. Probably one of the worst games I've gotten on there in a long time. But yeah, Tuesday I streamed some Jupiter Mars, which is the new game from Tegertron, headed up by James Milkey and Sam Kennedy, former 1UP EGM guys. And they were nice enough to send a code over. So I streamed that a bit. I had some audio issues, unfortunately, early on, because OBS. So the way I've been operating is if I'm getting audio to my headset, then OBS should be streaming it out. But it wasn't. I needed to set it specifically to like the headset audio for it then to send that out. Even though that should have been the audio that was the default, because that's what I had defaulted to, the system audio. It didn't really make any sense that that somehow changed at some point for OBS. So I think I got that set that fixed now, but like the first 30 minutes, there's no audio while I'm talking about how good the music is, which is always fun. But yeah, once I got it fixed, that game is very cool and very chill, in a good way. And the weird thing that took me a bit to realize is that you're controlling one of the dolphins. The dolphins are Jupiter and Mars. You're controlling Jupiter, and you're kind of the bossy bitch. Essentially, you're telling Mars to do things most of the time. And you're not really doing much yourself, as far as it's shown to me so far. You're like telling him, go break this stuff, and you're getting collectibles, taking out obstacles. There's a little bit of Metroid-y stuff, like there are obstacles you get in the early first few stages that you can't get through until you keep playing and unlock the abilities that get that, let you get through that stuff. So once you beat a stage, it lets you go back to previous ones if you want. So if you want to go back and get the collectibles you missed and check out those other side areas you missed, you can do that. And the neat thing is like the trophies are all pretty easy on that. I got 16 trophies during the stream. And most of them are just like, just keep progressing through it, and getting all the collectibles and that sort of stuff, and that works out pretty well. So yeah, definitely keep playing it. And story-wise, it's about a post-human world, where the humans are gone, and there's been a lot of flooding. Some of the areas you can definitely tell, like, oh, this was formerly like a SeaWorld area, or here's like subway that you're going into. And a lot of stuff like that, as well as there's just some random trash in some of the areas. I think one of the stages called Plastic Beach, I think it's called. As you might expect, it looks like shit compared to everywhere else. It looks real nice. It's like all brown, dingy, shitty looking area. And you get back to other ones and it looks, great. Nice. There's like a nice neon aesthetic to it. A lot of the creatures have like neon accents to them. Almost kind of like a Tron kind of thing. Yeah, it's a really cool game. Definitely worth checking out. There's like a launch bundle with some themes and some other stuff to it. That is like 10% off, so $22.49 instead of $25. That game's definitely worth checking out, and it has VR support. I didn't try it out on the stream, but it definitely seems like a good game for that. The one issue I could see is if you're colorblind, because when you use echolocation to kind of highlight things you can interact with, and those are like specific colors, like orange, blue, and maybe like purple, I think. For most of the items you can interact with. And I was, Christian showed up on the stream in the chat, was asking about that. I was like, I don't see any options for that, but that seems like something people should bring up with them. Let you kind of like change the colors to whatever you might need it to be.
Well, I could poke James about it.
That's definitely seems like something that should be pretty easy to fix and add in.
Yeah, if orange, blue, and purple are the three colors that they use, that's well, the orange and blue part wouldn't be that hard. It would be easy enough to distinguish. It's the blue and purple that people probably have trouble with.
What they use them for is a bit different. Like purple, in the stages I've been in, is kind of so there's these weird, like weird machines that, as like the story kind of tells you, are machines that humans made to push away like sea life from whatever they were working on. And so like you run into them and it resets you back to a checkpoint. So like the purple are kind of the cover that you can hide behind safely. And so like the
Sorry.
orange and the blue are like the grates that you can break through. And like orange is like the main thing for rocks and debris that you can break, and there are seashells or clam shells that have collectibles in them. The one stage there's nothing in them, so they're all fucking assholes, clams. But yeah, that game's really fun. It's a nice chill experience that and has some good music to it. And yeah, the composer is somebody I never heard of. I looked up his site and he's like worked on like short films and no games. So it's like his first game project. So might be a guy that's has a future in making game music.
All right.
And yeah, on Thursday I stream SteamWorld Quest: Hand of Gilgamesh, which is the new SteamWorld game, and it's kind of a turn-based RPG, but with card combat to it. And so the story is, it's kind of set in like a fantasy kind of RPG kind of setting. It's kind of presented a little bit like a Princess Bride kind of situation, like the robot's like robot grandfather is telling his like grandkids a story, and it doesn't appear anymore after that, like that whole conceit. But you're kind of presented to this world where kind of some bad shit's going down, but you're taking your crew to kind of figure out what's going on. It's Armalee, Copernica, and I've got Galileo, which are kind of takes on astronomer names. So they're playing a little bit of a sci-fi in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the combat is all card-based. And it's not like it's kind of similar to Hearthstone in a sense, but not in a way that's like real shitty, like Hearthstone can be. So you have a couple different kinds of cards. There are attacks, there are upgrades, and there are buffs. And upgrades kind of give you stat boosts and do some nice stuff. The buffs are kind of more attribute-based, give you some temporary stuff, and attacks are attacks. And there are base cards for each of your characters. There are separate decks for each character. And they're color-coded, so you know, like, oh, these are all for, you know, Armalee, or these are all for Copernica or Galileo. And the base ones don't use SP. Every time you use them, it adds one SP to your total for what you have. And then you get your, like, special cards that have SP numbers on them for what they need to be able to use them. And there's a lot of neat wrinkles to it, in a sense, where if you use, and you get to use three cards per turn. So you can have, there's some cool, like, chain combos as they have them, where if you use three cards from one character, it adds a fourth attack to it. That is the same one every time. So one of the characters is defense oriented, so he will give you like a defense boost for all the characters, as well as restore a little bit of health. There's one that will, Copernica, her like combo bonus puts this magic barrier on every character. That gives you like a shield that can take some damage before they start hitting your real health, your HP. And Armalee does like an extra attack and regains some health for himself. And that's like a really cool and a fun like kind of strategy to it. We're trying to figure out like, okay, I can use three of these attacks. Do I want to go, you know, buff up my characters and use some of the base cards and build up my SP? And there's like tag team attacks as well that you have. So it'll be like a special card that has a picture of one of the other teammates on it. You have to play one of their cards first before that tag team attack. And that gives it like an attack boost with it. And so, yeah, there's like a lot of little fun bonus like strategies to this that kind of makes it more fun than like your average card game. And there's no microtransactions or anything, so you're not forced to learn like ridiculous metas or anything like that that evolve anyway, because you kind of just get cards as you go. I got a merchant that I opened up, and that lets me use these materials I've gotten as well as gold, add new cards to my characters. And yeah, so I get new stuff, and I add it, like I've added a poison to Galileo, so I can just poison enemies. Which is a fun little attack. And yeah, it's just a really fun game. It has a little bit of like JRPG aspect to it. In a way that really makes it fun. And yeah, I'm definitely going to keep playing it. And that's only on the Switch right now, $25. But it's just another great SteamWorld game from those guys. And in a completely different style of game than what they've made before. Which is just pretty cool that they can kind of keep changing it up every once in a while and find new ways to kind of expand their game universe. For anything else, fuck Rain. Because we're getting tons of it.
Yeah, we gotten a bunch of that too. It's
yeah.
It's no fun.
Yeah, I was
I enjoy it.
basically working today and working out in the rain, and was just completely soaked.
Yeah, being out
It's
in
like,
it sucks.
yeah.
Well, I mean, like, most of Quebec is underwater right now, so that's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was fun because I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to the theater after work. It's like, oh no, I'm fucking completely soaked. So I had to head home and completely change all my clothes. Then head back out.
Joy.
Yeah, and I got Days Gone. Downloading the update right now, since I didn't get home until just a little bit ago. But I'm hoping to play some tomorrow and be streaming that tomorrow night's.
Cool.
And I think that stream will be at 9 o'clock because I have to work and I'll be home late. So it'll be a little bit later, but yeah, curious to check that out.
All right. And,
That's for
well,
you.
as for me, take a wild guess what I've been playing this week. At least since two, at least since Tuesday. Mortal Kombat 11. Yep.
It just gets its hooks in.
Yep, it is. And damn, if it ain't good. And like I said earlier, there are a few things I hate more in this world than games that are already really good and then having monetization tacked onto them that they don't need. Because Mortal Kombat 11 is an amazing game on its own merits, but the monetization brings it down by at least a point or two. But I also kind of realized that a lot of the people that were complaining about the lack of titillation in this game hadn't a fucking game because there's plenty skin to be shown. And I mean, did none of these people play 10?
Apparently not.
Because there was almost no skin in Mortal Kombat 10. All the character models had been toned down quite drastically from what they were in 9. Also, there's plenty of. I'm guessing the more titillating stuff will probably come through DLC or
Course.
monetization, loot boxes, that kind of shit.
There's a whole bunch of skins and stuff that you can get in the crypt, and some of those are pretty interesting.
Pretty scary, to say the least. Also, a lot of people didn't like the way that they redesigned Shiva.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I was fine. I was like, yeah, she kind of looks like an orc from, from now. I was like, I can dig it. But and let's see. Also, the fact everybody knows, of course, Ronda Rousey is the one who's voicing Sonya Blade, and her voice is adequate, I guess.
That's a
It's
good
okay.
word.
It's all right.
Yeah, they but know that they sort of Sonya's character model around her, but the problem is that a lot of the screenshots you'll show don't actually show what her actual in-game character model looks like as of now, because her actual in-game character model is actually a lot more feminine looking.
I think her in-game model is, well, it's based more around young Sonya than older Sonya, so
Yeah, not that you'll see older Sonya that much
No,
story.
no.
Spoiler. Spoilers. But let's see what else. I like the way that the crypt is designed, except for the fact that the fucking monetization shit. I like the idea that they've kind of made it into a sort of loot based sort of action slash museum type thing. Because basically what the crypt is you going around the ruins of Shang Tsung's island. Which, if you played Mortal Kombat, you'll recognize a lot of locations.
And I don't think there's a crypt monster after you in this one, so that's a
Oh,
good thing.
there is.
Oh,
There is.
I didn't run into him
It's
yet.
just that you, yeah, well, you don't see them. Okay. The only point the crypt monsters show up is when you have what is it? The blindfold from what's his name? When
Confucius.
you yeah from yeah when you go down in Goro's lair into his treasure house, there's you'll find Takeshi's corpse down there, and you can take his blindfold. And what the blindfold does is that it'll let you like see hidden treasures or hidden places you going to for, but it's also that there are specters that are sort of roaming around in the world that you don't see unless you put that on. Those specters can straight murder you.
Great.
Let's see what else. Fucking fatalities are amazing as usual. Although I hate the fact that they kind of have the second ones locked behind, having to go to the crypt and find them.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks. But the base fatalities are pretty extraordinary all of a sudden. Yeah, it's pretty much for that. This game is still great. I still haven't finished the story mode yet, but yeah. Also, we finally find out that yes, there actually are female Turkatten. I actually did not know that. I assumed Baraka's people reproduced asexually because, fuck, look at them.
It's true.
But oh, there are definitely female Turkattens. They are definitely a thing. You meet one during the story mode, but also that boss fight is a bit. It's technically only one round. The thing is that Kronika will like occasionally send in one of her servants, so that you have in the middle of it, so you end up in like a mini fight. It fucking sucks. Also, I just want to say all the people who were complaining about Jax's canning ending can go fuck themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say his ending and Cabal's were really the high points of arcade mode.
Yeah. Seriously, just there comes a point when you start to realize that some of these fuckers are just hunting to find something to get pissed off.
Yeah.
And they didn't even want a goddamn ending. Like, see, whatever. That's a whole nother thing I'll talk about
Yeah,
Sunday.
we'll get
Because
into that.
fuck, yeah, fucking hell, man. I fucking hate gamers sometimes. I really do. But
It
anyway.
safe to say that Cabal's ending is the Deadpool ending?
Pretty
Definitely.
much, yeah. Anyway, other than that, also been playing Vesperia still. That
Nice.
holy shit moment I've been waiting for, it
You
finally
got
happened. Oh, yeah.
it?
And it's surprisingly not like. So, like, okay, you know how, like I've said before, like how all Tales games work is they'll usually take like one particular aspect of JRPGs to sort of deconstruct. Well, Vesperia, what it does is it deconstructs the idea of player-based morality. Because you know how in most JRPGs, when there's like a bad guy you encounter, there's like an epic boss fight or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, two of the big guys in this game, the lead guy, he just straight up sneaks up during the middle of the night and kills them. I mean, not it's almost unceremonious. He just slashes them with his first guy, he slashes with a sword, the other dude he lets drown in hand.
Oh, you can't say it's a bad method.
No, but let's see. Other than that, reading as usual, I got a copy of a story called Her Smoke Rose Up Forever. It's stories by James Tiptree Jr. I think I may have briefly talked about Tiptree Jr. In another show. Basically, James Tiptree Jr. was the pen name of a woman, Alice Sheldon, known for writing these incredible pieces of short fiction about really. Well, let me put it this way. One of her most famous stories, the story called The Screwfly Solution, which is about a sort of weird plague that's over the country where it's causing men to start committing femicide en masse. And like there's like a whole like it happened so much that there's like a whole religious movement around that's justifying it. Yeah, it's stuff like that. It's really good stuff. And other than that, lawn work. I have been doing lawn work all goddamn week. Cutting the grass, pulling weeds, taking out the string trimmer, taking off the trash. I just want to say this for one thing. If any of you are out there who are needing to go out and like do some trimming, Troy built string trimmers fucking suck. They are absolute goddamn garbage, especially if they're gas powered. Because we now have three fucking Troy built gas powered weed eaters, all the same model, and every single one of them has broken down on us.
So the Let's Weekend anti-endorsement
Yeah.
to Troy Bilt.
And now comes the actual endorsement. Electric string trimmers. I was able to do twice the amount of work in half the amount of time.
Nice.
Because for one thing, it didn't have that petrol engine stuck on it, so it didn't weigh a fucking ton. Also, because it wasn't a petrol engine, it meant that I didn't have to deal with the engine that was constantly vibrating, radiating heat at me.
Yeah.
Also, because it has a safety guard, you can basically start it up and start it down without having to deal with a fucking pull string.
Yeah, always handy.
Yeah. Also, it came with a strap. So I didn't really have to put all of my weight into my side to keep doing that damn thing. So, yeah. That's the endorsement for Let's Weekend right there. Get one of those if you can. Because they are fucking awesome. All right, so with that out of the way, are we ready to move on? Got anything we want to add before we go on?
I think I'm good.
I just want to
Oh,
say
go ahead.
Microsoft Edge is great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm using the well, new beta version of Microsoft Edge, and it's fantastic.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Microsoft making a good browser.
Yep.
Okay.
Y'all have
Awesome.
frozen over.
Seriously.
All right. Well, then, I do now believe it is time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's random factoid. Now, at the top of the show, I told you about, a porno game basically became one of the top 20 most funded video game projects in the history of Kickstarter. Now, porn games are something these days we're kind of lucky because if that's, where your jizz and you're wanting to go get, you've got a lot of, you've got a lot of options out there that you can get. We got plenty of the visual model medium, and we can thank Japan for that. Then you got, Flash game, and, stuff you get on Steam, or you got like that shit like Nutaku garbage. All those places that you can go, you can go out and it's not a big effort because and we're lucky like that because there was a time when porn games were kind of not only super niche, but they were really fucking hard to get a hold of. They also sucked. Like really, really, really bad. And that's where I introduce to you a company from the 80s called Mystique.
Oh, God.
Now, Mystique was a company back in the 80s that was known for producing a number of unlicensed, you heard me right, unlicensed porno video games for Atari 2600. Amongst these games includes, I really hesitate to use the word classics, more like novelties, I guess, or Exhibit A.
But they did come in those really swanky red leather cases, though. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, in fact, I'm pretty sure at least half of the damn thing's cost was those fucking cases.
Yeah.
But anyway, these games included such novelties as Beat 'em and Eat 'em, in which you played two nude women looking up with their mouths agape, trying to catch the jizz from some lunatic who's masturbating off the side of a building. There's also a gender reversed version of this game called Philly Flasher, where it's two dudes at the bottom trying to catch a woman's tit milk. There's also Bachelor Party, which was basically a breakout clone where For one thing, it done instead of up and down, it was right to left, well, left to right. And you play a paddle that was sort of reflecting around a dude against a line of bricks that were made to look like nude women. The idea is that after you're all, you then get a nice little, like, short, blocky animation of sex.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the game that they're known for, is it?
No, it's not.
No. No, they made a handful of these games. A lot of them under the Sherrodica label, even though they were programmed in the U.S. and manufactured in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's not the game that they're most known for. No, the game that they're most known for is a little 6-bit abomination called Custer's Revenge.
Yep.
Which, you play a cowboy wearing nothing but a scarf, a hat, and a pair of boots, full on erect, trying to avoid arrows coming down from the sky so you can get over and rape a big-breasted Native American woman tied to a cactus.
Yep. They sold that.
This was 1982 when this thing was released. There was also a little-known gender-reversed version of the game called General Retreat, where you're playing the Native America woman who's trying to have sex with a tied-up Custer, and instead of arrows, it's cannonballs that are being fired at you.
Because, of course, it would be.
Yeah. Now, this game comes out, and can you just imagine the response was?
There was a lot of outrage. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So, the game was sold in, again, a sealed package labeled not for sale to minors, again, in one of those red leather cases that we mentioned earlier, for the price of about $49.95, which in modern times is equivalent to about $130.
Yeah. I should also point out that that was actually expensive for a 2600 game back in the day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, that I'm pretty sure at least half these games' prices were because of the leather casing.
Yeah.
The game litter that comes with it basically acknowledges that children might accidentally walk in on their parents playing this game, in which case, I mean, if I have not found a case for calling Child Protective Services yet, I don't know what. Game literature says if this happens, if the kids catch you and should ask, tell them Custer and the Maiden are just dancing. And to be completely fair, if you've ever seen anyone actually play a game on YouTube, kind of hard to say otherwise, because it doesn't really do a good job of simulating at what actual sex looks like.
No.
Obviously, as you can imagine, both Native American and women's rights groups were quite pissed off. Women's groups claimed that it was basically a simulation of rape. It was.
Yeah.
Back in the package, actually, she's not about to take it down, by George. Help is on the way. By God, he's coming. Obviously, American Indians were so not happy. And for a very good reason. Also, others got involved, included the Women Against Pornography. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, actually banned sale of the game.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a similar push that tried to happen in Suffolk County, New York, by Philip Nolan, who one of the legislatures. And he ended up becoming the subject of an $11 million lawsuit from various industries, you know, claiming a free speech on free speech grounds. And of course, as anybody tell you, controversy always sells, because the game ended up selling about 80,000 copies.
Yeah.
Which was amazing back then.
Yeah.
That's actually twice as much as both of their other two games combined. And of course, actually, after enough, it was finally withdrawn from circulation.
Yeah. But not before Mystique ended up setting a pretty interesting precedent, which would eventually lead to the formation of Activision.
Yes. It's also one of the reasons Nintendo would eventually create their Nintendo seal of approval.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like this couldn't happen in the United States.
Yeah. Japan is the one that has all the fun.
Yeah. If you've ever looked at what the type of you could get for the Famicom in Japan,
there's a reason we say, God damn it, Japan.
Yeah,
there's a, let's just say Nintendo of Japan doesn't necessarily have the same qualms about that type of material.
Hmm.
Kind of the reason why it kind of sort of came back into public knowledge back in 2008 when Professor Tom Keenan from the University of Calgary released an op-ed about video game violence in the Calgary Herald. It's one of those things that it always somehow manages to come back when you're talking about gaming and sex.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now we live in the era of, you know, obviously,
it's the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. You know, in modern times, of course, we got games like The Witcher, and, you know, games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age and all kinds of RPG games where you can have sex with various characters, you know. And now it's just a bit more just accepted, you know, because, you know, there was a time when this was super duper controversial. And you got Custer's Revenge partly to thank for that. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Toy.
Giggity.
Giggity. Yeah. Which reminds me, I'm pretty sure we're going to see more of Cyberpunk 2077 at E3 this year.
I hope so.
I would hope.
Oh, there's going to be so much sex in that game.
All of it.
Every last bit of it. And you thought The Witcher was gratuitous? You ain't seen nothing yet.
Hmm.
But anyway. So with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And this week, it's a bunch of douchebags somehow or may not be related to ISIS who, during Easter Sunday last week, they went and committed a series of terrorist attacks that killed about 250 people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, churches, hotels, and other nearby areas.
Mm-hmm.
Just really shitty situation.
Yeah. Now, I heard at first that people were actually claiming that it was the Tamil Tigers that were behind this attack. But it eventually came about that no, it is apparently an organization that's somehow related to ISIS.
Yeah, I think the Sri Lankan government was saying it was the NTJ. Mm. I think that's what they're called. National Tawhid Jamaat.
Mm.
Which had not claimed it, so.
Yeah.
And just a real terrible thing to happen.
And very clearly against the Muslim religion, might I add.
Yeah.
Because one of the tenets of Islam is that Christians are supposed to be protected within Muslim territories.
Yeah.
Also, Islam doesn't actually require you to be a Muslim in order to get into heaven. That's something people non-Muslim sometimes don't realize.
Mm.
But
yeah, I mean, religion's all about just being nice to other people,
mm-hmm.
whether they're part of your faith or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that don't believe in it should not,
mm-hmm.
you know, portray themselves as being religious.
Because mm-hmm.
they're not. They're just assholes.
Yeah. And that's what these guys are. They're just assholes. And usually these types of organizations, that's who they prey on. They're basically the Muslim version of a white supremacist gang. They specifically prey on wayward, disaffected young men who, you know, don't have much direction or purpose in their lives. And unfortunately, the innocent suffer because of it. Should be pointed out that the community was very quick to condemn the violence. As you know, I wish they didn't have to, but go. So yeah, that's terrible, terrible thing to happen. Especially on Easter of all day, and you know they specifically chose Easter because it would be an easy target. Especially in Sri Lanka, where Christians are like in the minority. Sri Lanka is primarily a Buddhist country. But yeah. So to sort of wipe the taste of that out of our mouths, we'll talk about our hero of the week. And hero of the week is Lego. I loved Legos when I was a kid. I think we all did.
Legos are awesome. You don't have to be
expensive. Yeah. It's just shit. Yeah. They're so damn expensive for the cool sets.
For much of my childhood, my favorite thing about Legos wasn't even the Legos. It was the Lego catalogs, which had those amazing diorama photos inside of them that made you excited to get the playset. Well, Lego has sort of in a renaissance period now these days. And they recently announced that they'll be releasing a new Lego set that's going to use Braille bricks so that kids that are visually impaired can get in on the fun.
Yeah, it's like a teaching tool for learning Braille. So you got like the little board that you can put them on, sort of teach them, you know, the different letters that way. Sort of a fun way that isn't just, you know, books or what other teaching tools they have for that stuff. Let's see, it'll include about 250 bricks featuring the complete Braille alphabet, as well as some numbers and math symbols. Also come with inspiration for teaching and interactive games. They're testing it right now in Danish, Norwegian, English, and Portuguese languages. They're going to be testing German, Spanish, and French later this year. And they're expecting to release this next year in 2020. And they'll be given for free to select institutions around the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I might actually try to pick up a set because learning Braille might not be a bad skill to have.
Anyway,
so yeah, nice work, Lego. Awesome. All right, so with that out of the way, it's now time to start for show proper. And as always, we got to start with political news. And first and foremost, Joe Biden is officially now running for president in 2020.
Pass.
We all saw. Yeah, I was going to say, first of all, we all knew this was coming. He telegraphed it like probably the day fucking Donald Trump took off.
Yeah. People have been obsessing about it since basically Obama was done.
Because we wanted to hurry up and have this 4-year long nightmare be over. But anyway, but yeah, I'm saying pass.
Yeah, me too.
The only good thing is he gets the only good thing I've seen is that he gets under Trump's skin pretty easily. That's about all he's worth.
About it.
Otherwise, he's just another old white guy.
Yeah.
He's a little too touchy feely.
And like his best form is as vice president. I don't think he's a great figurehead for the presidency.
Really?
No. Sort of like I didn't think John Kerry was a great candidate for president.
No, he was okay. That's the key word.
He'd be a better vice president or a senator.
He was way too wishy-washy for my taste.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're gonna have plenty of choice this year.
Yeah. Last check, there's like 20 some odd people who are running for the nomination this year.
Yeah.
Well, this
This
time,
time, yeah.
but yeah. Yeah, so with that bit of completely not surprising news out of the way, let's get on to the real stories of the week. The first one being Rudy Giuliani kind of sort of, well, didn't kind of sort of, he totally did put his foot in his mouth. Again, he
Intentionally.
basically went intentionally when he went on to national television, said, well, there's nothing wrong with taking information from the Russians.
Actually, I think it's kind of illegal. I mean, just point that out. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this, we don't like the Russians. No matter how much Trump tries to say, wouldn't it be nice if we were friends with them? Like, yeah, if they weren't shitty assholes. Yeah, sure, they'd be okay. But they're shitty assholes.
Very,
Yeah.
very, very shitty asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, not the Russian people we have a problem with, it's the Russian
No,
government.
it's Putin, the people who serve under him.
Yep.
But yeah, I just, this has become pretty much routine now, because I'm not sure if Giuliani really is doing this specifically to deflect from something, specifically to get attention on something else, or if he really is this fucking incompetent and yet his ego is so damn huge that he doesn't realize it.
Everything I've seen about him in the past is that he's an idiot and he has a huge ego.
So both.
Yeah. And also, he is a cousin fucker.
Oh yeah, did we mention that? Yeah.
He married, his first wife was his second cousin. I think his second wife, he announced his divorce to the media before talking to his wife.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a great way of going about
He's that kind of terrible.
it.
Anyway.
And he really hates ferrets.
Yeah, he has some weird, like.
John Oliver set up some trolling sites of that feature ferrets. I
Yeah.
like ferret cousins, totally making like winky eyes at each other.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah. I definitely recommend watching the John Oliver episode about Rudy Giuliani. Now he just sounds like he's drunk whenever he's on TV shows now.
Well, can you bl well, I mean, I was going to say, can you blame him? But yeah, I'm not going to give him that much. Boy, anyway, in other news of people sticking their foot in it, Iowa representative, somehow still, Steve King says he can relate to what Jesus went through after all of the criticism he's been through. Motherfucker.
No, just no.
Yeah, no, fuck off.
Yeah,
Basically,
seriously.
the thing he says, for all that I've been through, and it seems even strange for me to say it, but I am at a certain
And don't
peace,
say it.
and it is because of a lot of prayers for me. And when I have to step down to the floor of the House of Representatives and look up those 400 and some accusers, we just passed through Easter and Christ's Passion, and I have better insight to what he went through for us, partly because of that experience.
No.
Bitch, please.
You're a racist. You're not Jesus. Like, what the
Yeah.
fuck?
Jesus was way better looking than you, for one thing.
And he was Jewish.
Yeah. And he got the shit whipped out of him on many occasions.
Yeah. And he still managed to do all that and carry an enormous wooden cross on his back and make it all the way to where he needed to get to. So, I mean, have you not seen Passion of the Christ?
Yeah.
I mean, that's your fucking demographic. You should have seen it at least once. Was the matter of Mayak not too white for you?
Yes, Mr.
Jackasses.
Jackson.
By the way, for anybody who's wondering what Rep. King is basically doing now as representative, pretty much nothing. He's basically become persona non grata from the House of Representatives. He's basically been stripped of all of his positions, so he's basically just a walking zombie.
Yeah. Which isn't really all that different than what he was before, but now he has no power.
Yeah. He's just a walking joke now. Anyway, now for something completely different and much more positive. Elizabeth Warren, who is, of course, another candidate for president, has introduced what's going to be her plan for aggressive student loan cancellation. Now, for those of you who pay any attention to news in the United States, you know that student loans are one of the massive, you know, stones that are around the neck of the American economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it, so many people are basically working two or three jobs to, you know, pay back these, frankly, extortionist loans.
Yeah.
For something that, frankly, has proven over the last few years to not really help all that much.
No.
This would all be nice if you know that, you know, a certain Jewish senator from Vermont who has said that, you know, maybe college should be state supported and paid for. We wouldn't have this shit. Tommy! Uvuzela!
And it's a big issue that's just kind of weighs down kids as they get out of school.
Yeah.
For something that's
choosing not to go to college at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which isn't a great thing to begin with.
No.
And much less like tying down people to life changing financial decisions when they're 18.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People like college degrees aren't exactly a problem solver.
No.
Oftentimes people get jobs in industries that have nothing to do with what their college degree is.
Yeah.
Because they're more than just now pieces of paper that says you paid a lot of money for some knowledge.
Yeah.
That all kind of started with the big crash that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Where a lot of kids coming out of school, there's no jobs for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
For the degrees they spent, you know, 4+ years earning.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Now you got to pay back your bills.
Yep.
It's like, oh, shit. Now you got to take shitty
jobs. Get ready to move back into your parents' house.
Yeah, now you got to, you know, get minimum wage jobs that pay complete shit.
Yeah.
You have to pay back that stuff, and so you live like you probably did in college.
Or high school.
Yeah. Where you're like, well, we're eating ramen for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Because that's all I can afford.
Exactly.
And you know what? Be nice if there are ways to cancel, you know, a large chunk of it, if not all of that debt.
Mm-hmm.
That would free up so many people.
Yeah.
I'll be able to live like the way that, you know, we're told our entire lives. Like once we get out of college, like we'll be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you get a house, you can go out to restaurants, go to concerts, you can have a life. And it's like, what? That would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, if that's one of her things that she's going to be running on, that's a pretty strong point in her favor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's got a lot of strong policies. Mm-hmm. She's announced. She's one of the strongest candidates coming out of Democrat side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the few that's actually like putting down like concrete policies for what they're running.
Yeah. Really, if you want to know how much the Overton window has shifted over the last 5 years, all but two of the current 20-plus candidates running for the Democratic nomination support Medicare for All. Like, that literally, that is nearly universal.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All but two will eventually just be all.
Yeah.
So.
The most annoying is I've seen a lot of people basically have the fuck you got mine attitude about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, I just paid mine off. Like, well, yeah. Oh,
good for you, asshole.
I was like, yeah, that's a shitty experience. You want everybody to go through that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be opposed to, like a tax break for people that have, like, recently paid it off.
Yeah.
Sure. But, like, you don't deserve, you know, a stipend, essentially, for, like, doing the shitty thing that, mm-hmm. you know, people are telling our kids to do now.
Yeah.
It should be like, that was a shitty experience. Nobody else should fucking have to go through that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, they're, The amount that she's canceling for like each sort of these brackets is quite a bit.
Yeah,
like $50,000 for everybody under 100,000.
Yeah,
and it's like 40,000 for people up to 130,000.
Yeah,
and I guess if you're up to over 250,000, it's like fuck off. You got enough money.
Yeah,
to pay off stuff.
What's fun? And here's the what's funny is, and I run into like these. Wannabe economist all the damn time online when you talk about this shit. He's like, how are we going to pay for it? And then they try to like crunch the numbers. And here's the funny thing is that they're so blinded by their bias that they usually end up missing like a major factor in the equation. Like, let's talk about universal health care, for example. So universal health care would mean that technically, yes, our taxes will go. However, you end up saving twice the amount of money you would pay in taxes because you no longer have to pay premiums.
Hmm. Yeah. I saw people talking about like the hit to the deficit, and it's like, man, have you seen what the deficit's done since the tax laws have been changed?
Yeah, it tripled.
Yeah, like what? And you're fucking not getting any money of that money back for most people.
No. Yeah. And another thing, remember the progressive income tax about taxing every penny made after 100,000?
Mm-hmm.
Again, that would only affect come into effect if you made $100,000 a year.
Mm.
And then after that, every dollar would basically be taxed like a couple of pennies for every dollar earned.
And a lot of people are weirdly concerned about the rich people. Like, why should they be taxed so much? It's like, because they're fucking rich.
Yeah.
Also, if you're a rich person, you can afford an accountant that can help you not pay any taxes. So, yeah. Fuck yeah.
That. It's like you would keep all the money you've already earned.
Part of it like, is because I think some people are just fucking contrarians that want to feel special.
And people care too much about people that don't give a shit about them.
Yeah.
And some of because they're paid to do it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. Next up, Maria Butina, the Russian spy. She's now getting 18 months in prison. Maria Butina, once she was arrested, basically cut a massive swath through the conservative political movement in the United States because we realized just how crooked it really was. We also found out where the NRA is getting most of its money.
Yeah, so 18 months in Club Fed, basically. Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm not sure that's going to really change much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she'll probably stay in the U.S. forever, because if she probably tries to go back to Russia, let's just say she's probably going to have a nice cup of polonium tea ready for her.
Yeah.
If she's smart, she's going to go ahead and just cave in and tell the feds everything that she knows, which I'm pretty sure she's well in the middle of doing as we speak.
Yeah. As long as they're actually asking.
Mm-hmm.
With this administration.
Yeah.
All right, so next up. So we've all gotten parking tickets before, right? Parking tickets or speeding tickets, just tickets in general.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right? Well, there is a practice that has come up in the last years where a parking enforcer or a police officer or whatever, they're giving a, if they're giving tickets, they will do something where they will take a long stick that has a piece of chalk at the end of it, and they will put chalk marks on their tires. And this week, the federal appeals court ruled that this is unconstitutional, violates the Fourth Amendment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the case was brought on by Allison Taylor, a Michigan woman, who frequently received these sorts of parking tickets. Yeah, they use chalk to mark tires of people's cars. to check if they had, moved or not. So how long they've been there.
Yeah, it's like really fucking petty.
Yeah.
Because, like, here's the thing. Because the tax in this country sucks so much, a lot of cities have to resort to this type of shit to get revenue.
Yeah.
There's a reason why a lot of, beat cops have a quota.
Yeah.
When, speeding tickets are concerned. It's because of shit like this.
Yeah.
Because they have to get the money somehow.
Yep.
Let's see. By the time Taylor received her 15th citation in just a few years, she decided to go after the city, specifically parking enforcement officer Tabitha Hoskins. She alleged in her lawsuit that Hoskins was a prolific chalker.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of her 15 tickets was issued by Hoskins. Mm-hmm. After she marked a tire with chalk and then circled back to see if Taylor's car had moved. She argued that it was constitutional. Trespassing upon a privately owned vehicle parked on a public street to place a chalk mark to begin gathering information to ultimately impose a government sanction is unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
And the three-judge panel agreed with her.
Mm-hmm.
They said chalking tires is a kind of trespass. It requires a warrant. This decision affects the Sixth Circuit, which includes Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Which, yeah, the Fourth Amendment protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures.
Yep.
And
that's a hell of a precedent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I wonder if this is going to end up getting appealed and go up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, not seeing that they're looking to appeal.
I guess, but I mean, the thing is, if the city
probably
is
not the hill they want to die on.
Yeah.
Say so, but the thing is about stuff like this is if the city is hurting for funds, they definitely will do it. So, yeah. Anyway. Next up, and who didn't see this? The Center for Disease Control, which is headquartered in my state of Georgia, officially confirmed that measles now is its highest since they declared to have been eliminated.
Thanks, Jenny McCarthy.
Yes, thank you, Jenny McCarthy, and freaking John Kennedy and all those anti-vax douchebags. Yeah, there are a few people more annoying on this in this country than the anti-vaxxer crowd.
Yep.
Because they are really fucking entitled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think their own weird biases is more important than public safety.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're at 695 infections so far in 2019. The most for a year. We're not even at the end of our fourth month since the disease was declared eliminated 19 years ago in 2000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the second highest case was 667 in 2014.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let's see. Yeah, New York and Rockland County, there have been 590 cases since the measles outbreak began in October 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie reported its first five cases on Monday. I think UCLA and a couple of colleges over in LA have basically been on lockdown over quarantine because of measles.
Yeah.
Pretty and much.
The states that have reported measles cases to the CDC so far are Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Missouri, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Texas, Tennessee, and Washington. Most of the measles cases are unvaccinated children, although some adults may also be at risk. New York, two cases were pregnant women. And yeah, that's very dangerous for both the mother and the child.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, very.
And yeah, let's see.
And the thing is about this is because although they vaccinations, they also sort of understand in a very crude way the idea of getting an immunity. So they're going back into old wives' tale type health advice that's actually very harmful. Stuff that I think we as kids probably were exposed to at one time or another. Didn't your parents ever have a chicken pox party?
No, but they happened in my neighborhood.
So just
that's for a rich thing on like sitcoms back in like the up till the 90s.
Yeah, there was a whole South Park episode based around it. But basically what this was is the parents would get if there was a chicken pox outbreak or something that was happening, the parents would get all the kids together into one house where at least one or two kids had chicken pox and try and do everything they possibly could so that they could spread it around. And the idea was, go ahead, get the chicken pox, let them get through it, let them suffer for the few days it takes, get it over with, and their immunity system will build up, and they'll never have to worry about it again. Now, the thing is, there is a logic to that, because the thing about chicken pox is that the younger you are when you get it, the less of a threat it actually is. If you're, like, 8 or 9 years old and you get the pox, you just have to deal with rash and maybe a light fever.
So it can also come back.
6 or 7 days that you have it. Of course, if you're an adult and you get it, it can be much more serious than that. Including things
shingles.
That's the thing. You see, unlike a lot of viruses, the chickenpox virus actually goes away. It lays dormant in the nervous system until years and years later, a few decades later, when it suddenly decides it wants to come out and play again. Only this time it comes about as a little condition known as shingles. And shingles fucking sucks.
And one of the things I found out recently is that there's actually a vaccine for chickenpox. Which came out obviously after we were all kids. And got it. Because I have like a bald spot in the front of my hairline on my forehead. It's from chickenpox. Just a permanent bald spot from when my hair was forming.
I still have a couple of places on my cheeks that are pockmarked because of chickenpox. I mean, it's not really noticeable unless you look at it close enough, but it's there. Thanks, Mom. But to be fair, though, our parents went through the same shit. So,
We didn't really like. There was no like cure to chickenpox. Like there is now.
I just caught it at school.
But now we have like a whole cocktail of vaccines that you just go to the schools one day and get all the kids with the vaccine gun and just go, and it's over.
There should be.
Well, it was the case for us.
A bunch of soccer moms, that wasn't good enough. They had to listen to some douchebag from England. Lost his license over this shit. Whatever.
Yeah, and then idiots continue to perpetuate it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, if you want to stagger out your vaccines, here's a schedule for that. It's like, no. Just do it when the doctor tells you to.
Just go ahead and do it.
Who else was it? Was it Robert Kennedy?
Yeah.
Made a big stink about mercury. It's not the same kind of mercury as the one that's dangerous.
And even if it does, it's in such a small amount that it is barely noticeable. But, no, again, and really, I mean, because apparently having a kid with autism is just the worst. I'd rather my kid die from whooping cough. Have a learning disability.
Oh, there are those people. If you find anti-vax boards, like people just talk about, like, oh yeah, I let my kid have this, and then he died. Oh well, it's like, man, imagine if you actually cared about your kids, wanted them to be like
correlation
healthy.
Does not equal causation.
Oh God, don't tell them that. That'll make them super angry. Because like, then you're like actually getting in their. Their integrity as parents. But anyway, next up, science news. NASA, their InSight lander is on Mars, and it just experienced its first Mars quake. That's right, there are earthquakes on Mars, and we now know that for a fact.
It was on April 6th, since its first confirmed Mars quake. Yeah, they suspected it was a thing that Mars had, but could never confirm it because their landers never really tested for
Yep.
it. In measuring the Martian equivalent of earthquakes, seismic waves traveling through the interior of the planet was the one of the key things that this lander was made for. And they never thought Mars quakes would be as frequent as their terrestrial equivalents are because Mars doesn't support the tectonic plates, whose jostling interactions are what causes earthquakes here.
Yeah.
But they suspected that stress caused by the slow cooling of the body could trigger sporadic quakes as energy rippled through the planet's interior. Now they have proof of it.
Yeah.
The incredibly sensitive seismic detector the lander brought with it captured a tiny movement from the interior of the planet. And they might also have company from similar tremors measured on March 14th, April 10th, and April 11th. But they're not sure what triggered those. So they can't necessarily confirm whether they're actually quakes or maybe some testing stuff going on. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it here.
Yeah.
Just more info about how it all works.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like this wasn't like, a big one type level. This was just kind of a little rumbler here
No.
and there.
Yeah.
But goddamn. Yeah, that's proving that that Mr. Andy Weir definitely did his homework, doesn't it?
Yep, he did.
Okay. Anyway. Next up. So you know how Samsung was going to be releasing a Galaxy phone that was foldable?
Yeah, I remember that.
We were.
Don't expect that anytime soon. Officially delay the release indefinitely because apparently they can't get it to happen where the screen doesn't,
Break in
break.
2 days. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's kind of a problem, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
It
want
was the some of the test units they sent out to sites to review.
Yeah.
And a few of them had it where it stopped working fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Way faster than it should.
Yeah, there was one, so I think it was a Verge, they got something in the hinge and it like bulged the screen out and like, oh, yeah, okay, that's probably an issue you guys might want to like consider looking into
I'm
before
kind
the
of
release.
surprised that they didn't encounter this issue before.
Well, apparently they didn't actually like have their employees like use the phone before it was released.
Yeah, might be the
God
case they
damn
just had
it.
it like their labs,
Labs, yeah.
which typically don't have the shit, the gross shit you would use around your phone.
Yeah. And for a $2,000 phone, I think it's probably a good idea to like dial it back a little bit and go, okay,
Yeah.
maybe we have problems that we need to look at.
We need to send some people in the bathroom with this shit and then into fast food restaurants and fuck this phone up.
Or just give it to Marques Brownlee. So, what like they did, and then that died. Yeah, apparently there was like a little plastic film in there that looked like a screen protector that you could peel off, and some people did. You're not supposed to peel it off, but there was no indication on the phone that you weren't supposed to peel it off. So, yeah, they've got issues. I think foldable phones are going to happen. Maybe just Samsung won't be the one leading it this time.
Yeah, at least not yet.
Yeah, probably next year, maybe a few months. Huawei has a really nice one that actually looks like they did do the engineering properly. But you can't
Yeah.
buy Huawei stuff in the U.S., phones in the U.S. at least, because
For
that.
political reasons.
Which, yeah. I'm not gonna like completely shit on the U.S. government here because. I think they actually might have a case.
Yeah, Canada's been going to war with them for a while.
So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes. Anyway, next up, oh, Mr. Musk. Mr. Musk, his company Tesla are now working on robotaxis that they're going to be putting out next year. Oh my God, the lawsuit's waiting to happen.
Yeah, the claim is that they're going to have 1 million on roads next year. But he admitted that he's been off before.
Yeah, no fucking kidding.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to start testing this in what, Arizona?
Right?
Yeah,
I'd hope so.
whether it's like no weather ever.
Oh, there's weather. It's
Yeah.
called dust.
Yeah.
Dust storms. And then a little bit of rain every like
Yeah.
twice a year.
Yeah,
Which
I
is
can
when everybody goes nuts because like, what? Rain? What? Oh, I can't drive in
Yeah.
rain.
Yeah.
It's wet. How do you drive in wet?
Yeah. If you need to test this, you need to test this in like Michigan, in like Ohio, in like Kansas,
Utah,
Utah,
New York in traffic.
New York, traffic, LA in traffic.
God, if you can get through New York, then it's perfect.
Yeah.
Because nobody drives in New York except everybody that drives in New York.
Can you imagine a machine learning algorithm trained on New York driving?
He goes, "Hey, get out of the road."
Well, it would basically, if it was like a neural processor, it would basically morph into like one of those cars dressed in metal, just on its own, while nobody was looking. It suddenly grew a rocket launcher.
Yeah. Self-driving is going to happen, just probably not as soon as Mr. Musk thinks.
Yeah. Oh, well. Next up, and now we're in for the entertainment portion of the program. We got a trailer for Will Smith's next movie, Gemini Man.
Isn't this one based on a book?
Let me check. Because it sounds like something. Let me
Yeah, this one
see.
was in front of Avengers Endgame. Which is weird.
See, it's not based on a book, but one of the guys writing it is David Benioff, who is one of the guys that created Game of Thrones. So,
It's about Will Smith being like an elite assassin, and somebody's figured out a way to potentially take him out by creating a clone, a younger clone of him.
This sounds dumb enough to be awesome.
Yeah. And so it's like there's young Will Smith and old Will Smith. Just in case you need to know how that tech is going.
They're using that quite extensively in Hollywood lately. I'm down for this.
That's, he's gonna get already make all the money when Aladdin comes out,
Oh,
but
fuck yeah.
anyway, we also got a trailer for Black International.
Yeah, maybe.
Which was also in front of Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Along with a ton of other trailers.
Yeah.
I think that Lion King trailer was on there. Bunch of other stuff.
I wonder what the internal competition was like to get a trailer in the previews before Endgame.
How much money you got?
Yeah, basically.
Or are you one of our properties? 'Cause Star Wars is in there too.
Yeah. If you're Disney, you're probably guaranteed. Well, Disney owns just about everything now, except for a couple of. Yeah. Like, I saw the last trailer of this, and that was like, I was a bit curious. It looked kind of interesting, and this, it looks like a fun movie.
Yeah.
I'm down.
It gives a little bit more insight to Tessa Thompson's character,
Yeah.
which is that she kind of survived an incident with aliens and the Men in Black. Didn't get
The wipe.
the wipe,
The
and spent the rest of her life trying to figure out how to find out where these people were, and it ended up breaking in. Like, well, okay, you want to work for us?
Obviously, you're skilled enough.
Okay.
And there's a good joke about I think Chris Hemsworth makes a calls them the men in black and women.
Yeah, they kind of
It's
had a
like not sure
change
how
up.
to address that part of it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, seems pretty good. That's out June 14th, so less than 2 months.
Yeah. I got a decent summer of movies shaping up.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit coming out.
Yeah.
Ton of it is Disney.
Yep. And Sonic.
Yeah, I'm looking at Gemini Man is October 11th.
Okay. Next up, Ava DuVernay has a miniseries that's coming out end of next month called When They See Us, and it's based on the story of the Central Five, which is an especially relevant story these years because somebody kind of poked his ass that is currently our president.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this when they announced that it was being made.
Yeah. So basically what I need to know is back in the 80s, this 28-year-old woman was out jogging, and I think I can't remember, was it supposed to be at night? Or was it like during the day? I can't remember. Anyway, she was out jogging in Central Park, and then she was attacked and raped. The guy who ended up, who was responsible for it, actually, he admitted to it years later, already incarcerated for other crimes. But because the NYPD has to be the NYPD, they decided to pin the blame on these five young black kids. And they ended up going to jail for, what was it, like 13 years?
Yep.
Until they have finally had their convictions vacated. And the reason this is relevant is our current president, Donald J. Trump, put a op-ed, a paid-for advertisement in, was it the New York Times? I want to think it was the New York Times. Basically saying that these kids needed to get the chair. And,
I think he's even said since then that he still believes that.
Yeah.
Even though they've been proven innocent.
Yeah. Through DNA evidence and, the admission of guilt by the actual perpetrator.
Yeah, well, don't let facts get in the way of his opinion.
And the woman who, I'm pretty sure the woman who was the victim, she herself has said that I'm pretty sure the guys aren't the ones who did it. Granted, she suffered some pretty nasty brain damage through it, and she still exhibits symptoms from it, but she's also,
pretty sure she'd know.
Yeah. But yeah, so I have a feeling we're going to be hearing some more discussions about this. In the next month when this comes.
May 31st.
On Netflix.
And speaking of Netflix, we also got the trailer for a documentary called Knock Down the House, going to be releasing on May. This is a documentary that follows four women who are entering to run for the House of Representatives, which ends up being a certain woman from Brooklyn by the name of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
This should be an interesting watch.
Oh, just check the comment section. I just had to look at it.
Yeah, because of course people are going to be people.
Yeah, the top comment is, as soon as I saw the thumbnail, I just had to see this comment section.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I actually can't legit wait to watch this.
Yeah, next week. So.
Yeah. And I've said before, in a few years, I expect to see Ms. Cortez running for president.
Yep. As soon as she takes over the legal age.
Yeah.
I can't believe I have to say that.
Yeah, you have to be like about, I think it's 35 years of
age. Yep.
In order to run for president.
Is the lower threshold, but there's no upper threshold, which there should be.
Yeah, there really should be. I put it at 60 myself.
Yeah, the threshold is kind of a public one, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, how old is somebody that you trust enough to vote for? I guess we find out all the time.
Yeah.
It's old as fucking dirt.
Yeah. Who was the oldest person voted in? Is that Reagan?
Yeah, it's Reagan.
And he was not great mentally in his second term.
No, he wasn't. He was already showing some serious signs of Alzheimer's.
Yeah. And Trump was already sketchy going in.
Yeah.
And
Now, if Bernie managed to get in, he'd actually t- record.
Yeah.
He's actually
there's
pretty
a few
sound
candidates
mentally.
That would break it probably at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be Biden and Bernie, I guess?
Yeah, both of them. But like I said, they're they both all... pretty mentally sound.
Yeah.
So
they still have their faculties in order.
So. But Joe, you just have to put some oven mitts on them.
Mm-hmm.
So here, wear these all the time.
Yeah.
Or you just wheel them around like, what's his face? In a lock jacket.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And finally, last story.
Wait,
night.
That's out May 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah, May Day. Oh, like I said.
Last week.
Yep.
I missed that. Yeah, that's pretty soon.
Yep.
And finally, last story for the night. The classic Don Bluth film, The Land Before Time. Now, we all saw that, didn't we?
Yeah, it was
great. The first of an epic 20-part, whatever that is. I'm gonna look at it.
Epic, I think it's like actually around 10.
Yeah, they got like 10 or something.
I'm going to say it's more than that.
It was only supposed to be one movie, and now there's like, I don't know how many of them.
Yeah, and Don Bluth was involved in none of the sequels.
Yeah.
14, that's what I thought.
Don Bluth was the first one. Let's see, 88, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2016.
So who the fuck sat down and realized, hey, we've got the rights to this. We need to milk the shit out of it.
This
somebody
is...
who knew what they were doing.
Universal.
They made
Universal.
Bank off of that shit.
Yeah.
Executive produced by George Lucas and Steven Spielberg.
Yep.
The first one,
the first one, anyway.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, the first movie is an absolute classic.
Yep.
Stands up to repeat washings.
Yeah.
You know, it's a genuinely great film.
Yep.
Also, fun fact. You want to know the reason why Ducky's voice act changed from the first movie to the second? Because her dad murdered her.
Yeah. That's okay, I didn't know that.
Huh.
That's grim.
Yeah, straight up in cold blood because he was jealous of her financial success.
Yeah, that's a good way to end that.
And she was just
you're
a
making
girl,
too much
too.
Money. You're dead.
Hmm.
Oh, I can't. Where's all my money?
But
where did these bars come from?
Yeah,
anyway.
She was only 10.
But anyway, the point is, the reason we're talking about this today is because they have officially officially, unofficially, redubbed the entire film in Scottish.
Yeah, it is good.
So that's easy to understand.
It is exactly what you think it would be, and it's good.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking good.
Yeah, every single part has been redone with a different voice actor with a Scottish accent. I don't know why this amuses me so much, but it does. Yeah, it makes the experience of watching this movie very different. Let's just put it that way. Because they also redid the whole soundtrack.
Mm.
Apparently people have some far too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
So go watch it before it gets taken down from Vimeo, because it probably will. Because it's completely artificial.
Let me see, it's linked to Boing Boing?
Boing Boing, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's still on there as we're recording. So.
Sure, some interesting voice actors for the franchise.
Hmm.
Tress MacNeil does a bunch of roles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On various movies. Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh yeah.
In the 10th one.
Kiefer Sutherland's been on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a Braun.
Yeah.
Cam Clark did one. Chris Christopherson.
Yep.
Did a character.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Paulsen.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Menville.
Yeah,
who I know as what's his name from Mission Hill, Kevin French.
Yeah.
Yep.
I forget what I was playing that where I saw him in that. I was fucking shit, what game was it? Dark Cloud 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why does that guy sound so familiar? It's fucking Kevin French. What the fuck is he doing in this Japanese RPG?
Yeah.
Those are always the weirdest ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yep.
All right. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, a comment, something you want us to read on air, your main political manifesto, You can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Linked in the show notes. Please, God, don't actually send in any of our crazy political manifestos. We don't want to end up. We don't want to end up in court one day.
It took you a long time to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, and on top of iTunes, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, Apple Podcasts, archive.org, RSS, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator or website where you can download casts like ours and enjoy them orally through your ears. So, with that, out of this, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Logie, I'd like to say good night. Fucking monetization, man.